Today on this Choose This Day Bible study series, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts, number 19. God longs to bestow His Spirit through spiritual gifts to each of His followers. And what are these gifts? How are they helpful in God's work? And how is it affecting our life, bringing transformation? So don't forget the link of the notes in the video description below. So we're going to be talking about these spiritual gifts, and Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 describe in a list some of these gifts. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. In other words, we're all part of one body, we're all connected, we can't sever from each other. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, well then let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So this is a way to apply some of the applications to the spiritual gifts. If you've been given the ability to preach, well then, by all means, use that gift to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. If in fact He's called you to do something else and He's empowered you to do that, well then do it with all your might. God has given you the ability to reach out for Him with His grace and His blessings. So 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do you all speak with tongues or various languages? Do you all interpret those languages? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way," which of course, following this is the love chapter. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for yourself and realize that God has blessed us with love, the ability to love because we were first loved. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for a specific reason, for the perfecting of the saints, and also for the work of ministry, so the saints can do ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, which we are all members of, those that believe and follow on with faith that works, as we talked about last time. It's until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God has given these gifts to people so that they can use them for the benefit of His other children, those that perhaps don't have those gifts or those callings. You might have the gift of ministry. Well, then bring people into your home and minister to them. You might have the gift of encouragement, or you might have some financial abilities. You might have the ability to share. All of these gifts are God's means of reaching others through people like you. Now, I don't have all the gifts that you have. You don't have all the gifts that I have. But by all means, let's put it all together and work as a body to spread the truth of the everlasting gospel to as many as we can, as quickly as we can, for we know that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And so I don't have the ability to do some gifts, but I do have the ability to do others. And so one of my gifts that God has given me, trust me, before I was a Christian, I didn't have this gift, has been speaking. Before I was a Christian, I was a little high on drugs, and so I wasn't able to have a normal conversation. I couldn't recall things. I couldn't remember. I wasn't able to interact intelligently. But the Lord has changed my mind and given me the ability to speak. And so now I'm using that as a gift that the Lord has gifted me with. So if you have something that you might be able to use, by all means, do it and do it well. So Psalm 119, 105 and 106 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." So the reason why David had just been able to say that he was going to be able to perform his judgments and basically keep God's law was because he had just said the previous verse that God's word is a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. And so when we're interacting with people, when we're doing ministry, when we're sharing, it must be based upon the words that God has given us, or else we're not ministering for God. We're ministering for something or somebody else. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So the Bible is to be our guide. The Bible is what instructs us as we're doing ministry, reaching out to others as part of the body, so that we can lead people to Christ, the head of the body. And ultimately, Christ leads us to the Father. And so we will be part of this beautiful family that God has given us the ability to be part of because of His mercy and His grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9 says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ." So God's grace is given by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no spiritual gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you in those gifts unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the Bible says that we're going to have gifts unto the end, confirmed unto the end with these gifts. And the blessing is that we're all supposed to work together to be unified on the foundation of truth, as John 17, when Christ was praying, had prayed for. John 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So God wants us to be bound together in spiritual unity, in love, in faith, in hope, in courage, based on His word. Not just some idea that we have that is a good biblical idea that everybody wants to join together on. For example, there are many people that say they all want to come together under the name of Jesus. Differences in opinion on this Bible text and that section of the Bible or this chapter or this book, but we all just come together under one name, Jesus. That sounds good, but it's not what God is asking for. We're all to bind together based on the Word of God. And as we're doing that, we can be His body reaching out together with the same motives, the same teachings, the same end goal, which is preparing people for the coming of Christ Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 20 says that we're supposed to teach them, whoever we go out and share with, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I, Christ, am with you alway, even until the end of the world. So we have this beautiful promise that Christ Jesus has said that we are to teach people, and we're to teach them all the things that He's revealed. But along with that command to teach, it says that Christ is going to be with us until the end of the world. He's not with us any longer in flesh as He was with the disciples. He has promised to be with us in spirit. Remember, Galatians 4, verse 6 says that God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So Christ is with us in spirit, and as a result, we can go and continue His ministry while we still live here on this earth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. "Of which salvation the prophets, they have inquired, and they have searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." So they were looking for that grace that would come. "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ," notice the Spirit of Christ which was in them, "did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. So even the prophets were looking forward to Christ's coming. But what's interesting, it was the Spirit of Christ that was in the prophets before he came as a man in the flesh. And it's today the Spirit of Christ that is with us after he has come as a man in the flesh. So just as it was in the Old Testament, it is now today in the New Testament. We have the Spirit of Christ working with us, encouraging us to teach others, looking into those same things that the prophets were looking into, the truths that are revealed in God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So some of these gifts that are referred to in the Bible are the gift of prophecy. These holy men of God were moved in the Old Testament by the Spirit of Christ, as we read in 1 Peter and also 2 Peter. And also we know that they've been prophets during the time of Christ, after the time of Christ. You can see that in the book of Acts. And so it wasn't that prophets were only during a certain time. God has always sent his prophets into the world, and various gifts of the Spirit, pastors, evangelists, teachers, these people have been gifted by God and have been used by God throughout history to benefit mankind. And so the gifts are still very much alive today. And we are thankful so much for those gifts, as Christ has said that we will not come behind in any of those gifts, even until the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the clouds of heaven. So John 16, 13 through 15 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." Now remember, Christ is the truth, and it's the Spirit of truth. So it is the Spirit of Christ. "When he is come, he will guide you through his word," through his truth, "into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you." So the Spirit of Christ has been told that he will lead us into all truth. I am so thankful for that promise. I have claimed that promise numbers of times. I've asked God, "You've said it in your word. Please bless that I will be led into all truth. I don't want to be deceived. I want to be blessed through the gifts that God has chosen to reveal through mankind so that we can be benefited as part of God's church on earth, part of the body of Christ, and we can be blessed and led until Christ comes. Revelation 1 verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." So God gave the message to Christ, and then it says, "And he," Christ, "sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." This is something that happens very often in the Bible. God has a message he gives to his son Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives it to an angel, and the angel then sends it to those that are here on the earth called prophets. So now notice what it says there in Revelation 19 verse 10. "I fell at his feet," which is the angel, "to worship this angel. And he said unto me, Woe, see thou do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." So the angel is saying, "I'm just like you, your fellow servant, the one that has the testimony of Jesus." And then he says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, that which I have," as he had just said, "is the spirit of prophecy." So what this is saying is, John is trying to worship the angel. The angel says, "Don't worship me, worship God. I'm just like you. I've been given the testimony of Jesus, and that testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Basically, what's happening is the angel is giving a message to John, and that translation of God's words or desires or will or revelation from the angel to John is called the spirit of prophecy. It was given by Christ to the angel, the spirit of prophecy. Now it's given by the angel to John. And so what's happening is, John was confused a little bit, thinking of all the glory that had just been shown him, went to worship the angel. The angel said, "Don't worship me, worship God." And so the gifts are not something that would call people to worship us. No, not at all. We don't worship men. We don't worship angels. We worship God. But God has chosen to use men, and he's even chosen to use angels to be able to minister those gifts. And so all the gifts that have been mentioned in Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these are sections that we can learn about the various gifts and we can see how they're applied. But it's not something that we can use to uphold men or glorify men or honor men. Sure, we can treat them with respect and deference, but certainly not to the point of worship or admiration. That alone is for God. Now, the fundamental principle that we're reading and considering now is the 19th from the fundamental principles from the 1800s. Notice what it says. We believe that the Spirit of God was promised to manifest itself in the church through certain gifts, enumerated especially in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, that these gifts are not designed to supersede or take place of the Bible, which is sufficient to make us wise into salvation, any more than the Bible can take the place of the Holy Spirit. That, in specifying the various channels of its operation, that Spirit has simply made provision for its own existence and presence with the people of God to the end of time, to lead to an understanding of that word which it had inspired, to convince of sin, and to work a transformation in the heart and life, and that those who deny to the Spirit its place and operation do plainly deny that part of the Bible which assigns to it this work and position. So let's embrace the fact that God has blessed His people on earth with spiritual gifts as we continue to study the truths from God's Word.